everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onik.
We are proudly sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com, enter that promo code TCC2021, save 10% off your whole order. Sponsored by Artopia. Loves the dice bags. By the way, she's got a new product, and I think I'm going to tell you about it on the next episode, which, by the way, is episode 120. Wow. She got a new product coming out, man, and I can't wait to talk to you about it next week. I'm going to get one. She doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to get one. It's nice, man. I'll give you a hint. It's a newly developed dice bag. Newly developed. All right.
I saw she made a post about it, but I didn't actually look into it yet.
Gotcha. I'll talk more about it next week, guys. And we're sponsored by Hobby Goblins, and we're sponsored by Legend Rise Gaming. Partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group, and we're partnered with Cosmic Gaming, which, by the way, has a Facebook group. So if I didn't mention this before, go to Facebook groups and type in Cosmic Gaming and join the fun. It might take a minute for you to get approved, but that's because everybody is approved by one person, and every time he approves you, your name is put into a giveaway pool. And believe me, the giveaway pool's got millions of people in it. And he hand puts everybody in there and approves you. At the same time, he puts you in the giveaway pool. So it does take a little time. Even though I'm an admin over there, I'm not allowed to accept anybody, even though I see the requests. And man, it's a lot of requests, Onik, okay? It keeps getting more and more. But he does it by himself, so he puts everybody into the giveaway pool, okay? Starting us off this week. Oh, wait a minute. And we are joined by none other than Luke. Luke, thank you so much for coming back on today's show.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure.
Welcome back.
Yep. And we've got a surprise for you. So we got the second half. You're going to be a judge. We have been testing Onik's, how do you say, his terminology in Magic the Gathering.
My expertise.
His expertise. It's been a mixed bag, I tell you. You know, he's probably running 50-50 on this.
Wow. Excuse me.
There's some questions that haven't made it to the air, you know, because some of them are like basic questions, like what is main deck?
Oh, so you're editing these things to make it sound like it's 50-50.
No, the last episode, I did even leave in a few things in the end where I was like, hey, I'll edit this part out, but I left it in anyway, so to give the listeners context that, hey, there are questions that I'm omitting, which you do get right, and it's like only two of them you got wrong. But other than that, man, the majority of the ones I've omitted out, you got right? Because they're just basic ones like almost everybody knows kind of thing.
If I get majority right, then that's a little bit more than 50-50.
No. The ones we got deleted. The ones that didn't make it to the actual podcast.
Right, so you're making it sound like I'm pretty bad. That's all I'm saying.
But you're doing way better than I ever did. I'll tell you that right now. I think I gave up like on the third question in or something, man. You know, it's like, oh God, this is just too hard. But I gave it a good college go, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to start off this week, Luke, with card of the week. I think we sent you a picture of it. Onik, you've got card of the week.
This is a new card that's coming out on the next set, Phyrexia All Will Be One.
Ooh.
Koth, Fire of Resistance. This is a planeswalker that originally debuted in Scars of Mirrodin as one of the Volshok leaders or whatnot. But yeah, for a while, we were not really sure if he was alive, if he was dead, because he was on Mirrodin, which was taken over by Phyrexians. Did he survive? Apparently he did. Legendary Planeswalker Koth, 2 red, 4 starting loyalty, +2. Search your library for basic mounts and reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle. -3. Koth deals damage to the target creature equal to the number of mountains you control. So it sounds like you kind of want to go mono red. Mm-hmm. -7, you get an emblem with whenever a mountain enters a battlefield under your control, the emblem deals 4 damage to whatever.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely want to go mono red with this. I mean, well, you can splash green for the mana ramp, like Harrow and stuff, you know?
I mean, depending on what format you want to play, sure.
Right.
Yeah, but I find this interesting. I just like Koth because I remember I had like standard decks back in the day. It was just mono red and it was just a fun deck to play. And I had 4 Koth. Also, this is now the third mono red Planeswalker we have in Standard, because we still have Jaya and we still have Chandra dressed to kill. So yeah, you can make like a mono red deck, super friends, I guess, of just straight burn.
See, I know too, not to get off track too much, but building my cube, I've noticed that there's a lot more Planeswalkers in red than any other color. Well, I've been noticing
because Chandra is like a million times all over the place.
Right. You got really good Chandras. You got some weaker Chandras. You got Koths. You got that other lady. You say her name all the time.
You have Jaya.
Yeah, Jaya. That's it. Yeah.
Zariel or whatever, the one from D&D.
Not to mention Sarkon with the dragon one from the Tarkon.
Yeah, Sarkon.
Yeah. Sarkon from Takir and stuff. What do you think about this card, Luke?
Well, as you mentioned, there are quite a few red planeswalkers out there. I like how, you know, it's kind of... it helps you bounce into your mana ramp as you're talking there. If you would splash a little bit of green in there, you get to search for your basic mountains. So if you ran it with, like, a Dryad of Elysian Grove or something, or... You know, Azusa, I guess you
could be nice, yeah.
Oh, definitely throw a lot of lands out there pretty quick.
Land, speaking of which, what was it? Valdecute. You remember that one, Valdecute? Like every time you get a mountain into play, but you got to have five mountains or something, it does three damage to any target.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of melds well with it. Do what?
Was it like the Pinnacle or something?
Yeah, the Molten Pinnacle. Yeah, the Molten Pinnacle.
Yeah.
That was a good card. Oh, God, I love that card.
I mean, in that sort of deck, I don't think you would want to run Koth anyway, because like you have like Scape Shift to just kind of combo kill or prime time.
That's true. I don't know. There's definitely some synergy with it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the card. I think the card itself is pretty solid. You still have that one. I forget what it's called. Sardian Cliff Stomper. It's a 0/4. Uncommon from Brothers War, that's like it doesn't do anything unless you have four mountains, and then it can attack and do some damage or something like that.
I feel like red
right now is pretty poorly positioned in the meta, but I still feel like this could be a fun deck, and people just love playing mono red.
I think so. There's a reason this deck
is gonna show up and it's gonna be fun to play, but I don't know how effective it's gonna be.
I wasn't gonna try to cut you off, but I was thinking that there's probably a reason why this is not mythic rare.
Oh, I know the exact reason.
I'm all ears, like a field of corn.
Okay, then I guess we can kind of go into, like, it's kind of going into, like, a next subsection, I suppose. So we know 10, that in the next set, all will be one, there's going to be 10 planeswalkers. Five of which are Phyrexianized, are completed.
Yeah.
We now know exactly which five are safe, which five are completed.
Oh, really? Yep. Okay.
The ones that are safe are all rares, and the ones that are completed are all mythics.
Okay, is Jace a mythic or a rare?
Mythic.
Oh, boy.
Jace is completed.
Oh, boy.
Vraska is completed. Nissa. Luca. And Nahiri.
Whoa.
All of them are completed.
I mean, this is not like where you want to say mic drop. This is where you want to just jaw drop, you know?
Exactly. And so that means the ones who are safe is Tyvar.
Okay.
Who's the elf from Kaldheim. Kaito. Kaya. The black-white shadow-shifting assassin. Koth with the hammer, we just mentioned. And the Wandering Emperor, or Wanderer, however you want to call her.
Man, they saved the Wanderer, but not Jace.
Jace can go. Oh, he's been around
for... I know. He was the fanboy, like Jace the fanboy, you know?
Yeah, because he's like the face of Magic, which right now I think the face of Magic has shifted so many times from Jace to Teferi to Chandra.
Lily.
To, for a while, it felt like it was Liliana, especially for War of the Spark.
Right.
It kept shifting around. Like, I think Magic should be totally fine with killing off some of the main characters.
Oh yeah, I just like The Walking Dead. Nobody's
safe, you know? Yeah. It's like, you know, everyone freaked out when Glenn died and whatever. And like, I quit watching, and then people said I quit watching when Carl died. Whatever. Like, I stopped watching because it just kind of dragged out. But anyway.
But you can always Netflix and chill, right?
Exactly. But like, I think Wizards of the Coast should be totally, I mean, of course, they've already established a storyline and they already moved on. But like, Planeswalkers should die or just disappear forever. Like, I like Jace. He's a cool Planeswalker. I kind of will miss Nissa, but let's open the doors and open the creative space to, you know, kind of bring back other Planeswalkers and make it relevant. Because, like, for example, you can go back to War of the Spark. Remember how we had, like, 73 Planeswalkers in that set or something ridiculous?
Right. Yeah.
They're still, like, mostly all around. Why not use some of them? We've had, what's his face? The white Planeswalker from M21, the guy with the sand. Bossri Ket. We know nothing about him. Why does he exist? You know, let's introduce him into a later plane and be like, oh, here's the story. If it be, you know, maybe he's a new Gideon or something.
Just like any other story or a soap opera, you know, you can kill off a character and just have the spirit come back, or he's back. It was all a lie. Now he's got plastic surgery, and it's a story. We can do whatever we want with it, right?
Yes. I just, if someone goes away, I want them to stay away. Like, I know Elspeth came back, you know, she died and she came back. And I think she's immune to being completed or to the Ichor or whatever. But like, you know, if Jace goes away, if Teferi goes away, we still have like other blue Planeswalkers.
That's true. That's true. Just like red Planeswalkers. I think it's in second place.
Yeah. Like we can introduce other Planeswalkers and
except for Tamio,
new characters.
I think they killed off Tamio, so they're not going to bring her back.
Tamio's not dead yet.
Oh, yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I liked her.
Don't put your stock in. It's like Arius in Final Fantasy VII. All right. Speaking of which, we should go over to Movers and Shakers.
Yeah. So that's just real quick of all the Planeswalkers. Not all the cards have fully been revealed, but we did have like little pieces here and there of like, okay, so they're most likely gone or most likely safe. Like what I said of the Planeswalkers was 99% sure. But yeah, Movers and Shakers.
Let's go to Movers and Shakers. Movers and Shakers powered by MTGStocks.com. There's so much electricity flowing through my laptop. It's starting to have RGB, and then it doesn't even have that capability. You know, so it's very powerful. This week with Movers and Shakers, cheap pickups, prime time, Primeval Titan, $4.90, slowly moving down.
Dude, how's this card like just $5?
I don't know. I wondered why Cryptic Command was only $3 last week. You know what
that's
I mean?
Like, oh, I need to look at the history of this card.
Or maybe it was $8. I think it was $8 last week.
Oh, Primeval Titan, was that it? The peak was like just $20?
Well, yeah, so.
I thought it was more. I thought it was like.
This is this version, though. This is the Time Spiral version you're looking at.
Yeah, I'm looking at the M11 set, okay. M12. Okay. So I guess when it first came out, and I thought it was a lot more. I thought at some point it was like, you know, $40 or so. Mm-hmm. So from 20 to 5, that's more reasonable, I say.
Oh, yeah, man. We don't have any show notes on this guy this week, but we might next week.
Yeah.
This one's hard to pronounce. Canopatech Scarab Swarm. That's $4.94. It's moving up. This looks like a Streets of Capanna card. It could be wrong.
No, that's one of the Warhammer ones, which is why we don't know what the heck it's called.
Okay, got it. It's been identified as premium penny stock. So it's a card that's reached its bottom and it's starting a constant uptrend. So if you are interested in like, you know, a penny stock version of Magic the Gathering, this could be your entry point level into the game, you know. But I think we got one more cheap pickup this week.
Yep.
Let me see here.
Diabolic Intent. This was the one that was reprinted in Brothers War, originally debuted in Plane Shift, so way back in the day. It's a tutor. It's pretty much a tutor if you sacrifice a creature for 2 mana.
Yeah, the guy's $8. He's moving down.
Yeah.
So this would be another penny stock thing, too, you know. This is going to go back up. It's just inevitable.
I don't think so. Personally, because it's a reprint, we've already had this card that existed. And it was a high price just because it was never been reprinted since.
So there's only been one other version of this card?
Correct.
And what's that one sitting at right now?
I could take a looky-look. Back one was from Plane Shift.
You said looky-look. That's almost like you got to get in the backpack.
at some point it was about close to $50.
See?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. and that card goes up and down, this card is going to go up too. I mean, they might reprint it, sure. This is a more modern frame, nice artwork. Again, there's a lot of people that want the nostalgia factor. They just want that old frame. They want that old original artwork. You're not going to change their mind, you know?
Yeah.
But with this artwork, maybe they we're just speculating here. They might come out with another artwork and reprint this in a secret layer or an invention. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just say that this card might go back up. Again, you're just gambling at that point. But moving on to number three this week, Counterbalance. This is a classic, man. You know, I know most vintage players are going to have dozens of copies of this, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
$34. It's only up 17%, but it's in Legacy. Who of us old enough to remember countertop decks in Legacy?
Counterbalance?
Countertop. It starts off, well, there's a little paragraph here. These decks usually in the Azorius colors. Sensei's Divining Top alongside Counterbalance. Right. So we had another one that was called Miracles too. Do you remember that one, Luke?
I do not.
You don't remember Miracles? It was using Sensei's Divining Top and all right. Well, this was almost kind of like the same thing right here. Mm-hmm. But at $34, only 17% increase. Not as strong as our number two card this week. Cityscape Leveler. Me and Onique, we speculated on this guy. You remember speculating on this guy?
Yeah, we did. Picked it.
Yeah, we did, Doug. Number two this week, $12.99. It's up 72%. And I just don't want to be that guy, you know, like I told you so, you know. But number one this week, wait for the standing ovation, okay? Hidden Gibbons, $4.49. It's up 290%. Let's start with what this card does, okay?
First, I want to start with how silly the name sounds if you say quick enough.
Yeah, Hidden Gibbons. Yeah. This one guy got in trouble. His real name was Hugh, like Hugh Hefner and Hugh Grant, you know. His first name was Hugh, and his last name was Mungus. That's his real name, all right? So a woman was like, and I don't, you know, it was just on the internet. And I saw this earlier this morning when I woke up drinking my coffee. Right. And then she's like, what's your name? And he's like, Hugh Mungus. And she's like, no, what's your name? And, you know, cause he's like, it's Hugh Mungus. And it's like, she kept asking, he kept repeating himself. I don't want to get sued here, but one green, this card's one green. It's an enchantment. When one of your opponents, it's got the word with an S in it, successfully casts an instant or interrupt spell, which is instant, okay? That's, I know instant or interrupt, but the errata version is whenever they cast an instant. If Hidden Gibbons is an enchantment, Hidden Gibbons becomes a 4/4 creature that counts as an ape. If you look at, recently we've had some of these cards in Strixhaven and some sets beyond where they're just little artifacts that come into play for like two, and they can turn into a 4/4 bear or whatnot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've seen this in the past. It's just like Chrome Ninja get you. If you look at the history of this card since what's the earliest set I can even look at on this long graph here?
Well, this graph I think just barely goes to
2012.
Like it was a penny or something.
60 cents. It's been sitting at 60 cents. It goes down in 2016 to 40 cents. Okay. And now, all of a sudden, dude, with this new set that's coming out, what's it called? You said earlier, All Will Be One or something.
Mm-hmm.
It shot up to $5. What does it do? I already said what it does, right?
Yep.
It is. Go ahead.
It's a one mana enchantment that whenever someone casts an instant spell, it turns into a 4/4 creature. Like in Commander, people are going to play instants. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, if someone tries to disenchant it, like that's an instance that'll change the enchantment to a creature, and then disenchant will fizzle because it's not a legal target anymore. Which I find amusing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's so true.
The reason why it's going up is, once again, because of Kibo, Uktabi Prince, the monkey, ape, whatever, gibbon commander. Mm-hmm. So, everyone's just looking for any kind of monkeys to put in a deck.
It says, and thus becoming a driving factor in prices of these older cards haven't been reprinted. So this card's never been reprinted.
Nope. Way back in the Urza's Legacy.
So that's it's $5 now. Who knows? This might go up to $60. You know what I'm saying?
If Kibo is like some ultra tier one, tier zero commander deck list, sure.
One green. It's got that really good ability. It's got evasion built into it.
What evasion?
It's 4/4 until the end of turn, right?
No, permanent.
Oh, wow. It's not even until the end of the turn.
However, I think I would like that.
Yeah, I would like that more. That's what I thought it was.
If it became hidden again.
Yeah.
It would dodge. Yeah, okay.
That's what I thought it was. But you're right. It doesn't. Not until the end of the turn. Ooh, that's hurt. That hurts. Yeah, I can't see this guy going more than $8. Not even in 2050, you know?
I do like how, I guess some people will consider like an until end of turn effect sounds like a drawback, but in this case,
it would be killer, wouldn't it?
I do like that.
It would be killer, wouldn't it? Oh, man. Yeah, you're right, though. You're absolutely right, because it's almost like I could put a basic land in my hand versus put it in the battlefield. What's better?
It would just make it more difficult to attack if that was the case, because then that means you have to play an instant in order to pick. Blah, 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 blah. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Wow. That means you would have to play an instant in order for it to attack again. That could be challenging. That would actually make it worse, not that I think about it.
All right. All right, guys. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. That's the first half of the podcast. Now we're going to go to the second half of the podcast. When we return, and it's just basically we're going to ask Onik some questions, look to the judge and see what the judge thinks. And I can't wait to hear this. Actually, I know it was a short first half of the podcast, but I'm so excited. Onik, are you raring to go?
Yeah, I'm going to get like 90% of it right. Then you're going to edit it to make sure I get just one right and one wrong.
Right? So it looks like you got... So it looks like you got like 5% right?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, man, it's going to turn out beautiful. It's going to turn out beautiful. Have you listened to any of the podcasts of the last two? Probably not, right?
I've been behind in my podcast listening.
Don't worry about it.
Because we were out last week because of my birthday and whatnot. Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it, man. Basically, it turned out really good, dude. You know, it's not making you look like a fool. I believe you. Yeah, it's good. All right, guys, we'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back. And Onik, I've got this footage pulled up, so I'm ready to start going with the first word. The first word this week is permission spells. Onik, it's on.
Permission spells. This is like, it could mean anything. It sounds like it's, as long as you have priority, you have permission to cast something, but permission spells sounds... I'm guessing. See, I'm already getting defensive over this.
You hear it, Luke? Do you hear it?
You can 50-50 chance, man. You got this.
Yeah, he can cut the tension with a knife.
Actually, it sounds like the ability to cast a spell, mm-hmm. or something granting you an ability to cast a spell, like a sorcery instant in your graveyard gets flashback or something like that. It gives you permission to do that. I don't know. That's my answer.
That's your answer? That's your final answer?
No, but yes.
All right. Now, Luke, I'm going to have to edit some of this out, right? Because what I'm doing is I'm listening to her response, and then I'm going to repeat it to you guys. It might sound choppy on my end, but I try to fix it up on the podcast. Here we go. Spells that can counter other spells on the stack, also called counters or counter spells. I'm going to look to the judge. Judge, did he get that right?
Are we talking about Onik or you?
Yeah,
Onik.
Oh, Onik. I'm sorry. Yeah. He was not correct.
No, he was not correct. Okay. Oh well, we're getting off to a rough start, but that's kind of just, you know, we're just warming up, right? We're just warming up.
So this is the only question that the audience is going to hear me get wrong for such a vague question. It's just like, what's a counter spell?
I didn't even know. It was like permission spell or some shit, right? Here we go. Next word. Hold on. He's probably going to get this one right. We're going to have to edit it out, right? Here we go.
Yeah. What is a player?
I'm even complaining to her, too. Hold on. Okay. Next word. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Power.
Power?
Yeah. P-O-W-E-R.
I could have multiple definitions. It could be power toughness.
We just need one. Is that your final answer?
Jeez. So I'm going to be right. Hold on.
Yeah. You're going to be right?
It could either be power, like power toughness, how much damage a creature can deal, or it could be like some sort of power ranking or power scale of how strong or efficient a card is. Those are my two answers.
Okay. I think we can probably take that. Judge, we're going to take those answers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take both of those as an answer, and the correct answer is how good a deck or card is without the context of format or metagame, also called raw power or power level. I'm going to look to the judge. Judge?
I mean, I feel like all of your guys' answers were correct there. You could either bounce that off of the...
All right, we got a winner here. Just unfortunately, that won't make it to the podcast, right?
Wow.
I am totally kidding, dude. This is all getting on the podcast. Okay, we're going to the next question. Okay, hold on here. Predicting the metagame. It's all you.
Predicting the metagame.
That's all you, boo.
To me, that sounds like you're preparing or getting ready for a tournament of some sort, and you're not so sure what decks are showing up, but based off of past results or other tournament data, you're predicting what sort of metagame you're going to expect at this tournament, and you plan accordingly.
Makes sense, right?
To me, it does.
But right?
Let's see what the answer is going to be.
Okay, let's see what the answer is going to be. That's your final answer?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. The answer is... My guess to her was... guessing what the next power level of the next set's going to be. It was my guess. Hold on. And then she's saying close. Thinking ahead of what your opponent's decks are likely to bring to a tournament. I'm going to look to the judge. Judge?
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Onique on this one.
Yeah. Onique got it right, right?
That was like a 200% correct. That makes up for the wrong one.
So basically, I'm gonna make a side note. I'll edit this part out, but I'm gonna let you know behind the scenes, Luke, of what my answer was. It's not who got it right or who got it wrong. It's Onique got it right.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna go to the next question here. Hold on. Priority.
Yeah, priority is kind of sort of the same thing as a permission thing that you asked me earlier. Priority is when you have permission to cast a spell or to activate a fast effect. I mean, that's what you would call it back in the day. You know that.
I know.
When you have permission to cast a spell or play an instant or something, activated ability.
Okay. And you're locking that one in?
Yes.
Okay. And the answer is, it's your turn to act. To either do something or do nothing. Judge?
I mean, the only thing Onique left out there was who has the permission, but yes.
So we're going to give it to him, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Got it. All right. And the next word is proactive. It's a lot of P's, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the opposite of reactive.
Okay, is that your final answer?
Well, that's right. That's just how this works. Right. But proactive is when you're kind of taking action before ahead of time instead of in response to, we'll say.
Okay. Judge, you heard him correctly. I mean, you heard him clearly there.
Yep.
All right. And you're locking that one in, Onique?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go. I said to her, I have no idea. And she says to me, when you're being proactive, you're trying to progress your game playing. I'm going to look to the judge. Judge?
I feel like Onique was also correct on this one as well.
Onique, you're getting a lot of winners here, buddy. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's going to be a real short episode because you're going to cut it all out.
I know, right? So far, we only got one question wrong. I mean, so she did... also end that by saying pushing up a tempo advantage. I think she's moving on to the next question. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. I think you're going to get this one, dude. It's called reach.
Can block creatures for flying.
That your final answer?
Yes. Okay. To simplify.
Right. The answer is, I said the same thing you did. It's got two definitions, but she said yeah.
Okay, can I guess the other definition?
Well, you cut her off explaining the first definition, but yeah, go ahead. I mean, I think you got it right, so we're just going to go ahead and give it to you.
Okay, as easy as that. I guess we don't need a judge here, huh?
Right. I mean, judge, I'm going to give it to him. That's an auto win on that one, you know. She's still talking, giving the definitions. Hold on. So she's talking about tempo advantage and blocking creatures with flying. Basically, it was the second one. So, hold on. Reactive.
Yeah, pops it a proactive.
Yeah.
That's not wrong.
Okay, that's your answer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's the answer.
Do something in response to.
Oh, we're adding on to it. Hold on. We got a rider here. he's going to put a rider on this one, Luke. Hold on. All right. And she's saying when you're reactive, you're trying to defend and answer your opponent's threats. Judge?
Yeah. Reaction in response to something that your opponent does.
Man, he's finishing this off strong. I'm telling you what, people.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
I know, right? You're finishing off strong, man. I'm telling you, you keep this pace up, bud. You just might beat me. I mean, you just, like, why did we even ask you any of this, right? Here we go. The next question. Sequencing.
Your spelling is so, like, can you use it in a definition? What's the origin of the word? Did Mark Rosewater create it? Sequencing is just like an order of plays. You're just playing cards in a specific order.
All right, and you're locking that one in.
Yes.
Okay.
I need like a little buzzer. Like,
I know, right? Here we go. The answer is, we have two definitions. The order and manner of which you take your actions in a game, or number two, the order and manner in which you take your actions in a turn. I'm going to look to the judge. Judge?
That is correct. Onik has once again prevailed.
Wow, Onik. You're like a massa. you're like an oracle here with this, man. All right, let's move on to the next question here. We're getting to the end letters here. Okay, you're going to know this one. Sideboard.
Yeah, sideboard. You're up to 15 cards that you have that you can use between games 2 and 3.
Yep, I know.
Change some cards on a deck.
I think he's going to get this one right, Luke. I think he's going to get this one right.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think so. Let's see here. She says, I'm explaining to the listeners even more than what Onik is. I'm still explaining it.
So that now you're being overly defensive, it sounds like.
Like, wow. I'm still explaining it. Oh, John, come on. She says I was very close.
Well, how can you be wrong after all that explaining?
I know. Right? Oh, my goodness. All right. Whew, here's what she says. She says almost, and after the first game of a tournament match, players may swap in any number of cards from their sideboard in effort to make their deck better suited to win the next game. In constructed, sideboard can never be more than 60 cards or 15 cards. And she's going on to the next question. So, Judge?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got this one correct as well.
Yep.
Bingo.
Yep. So far, we've only got one question on this podcast, man. All right. We're going to the next question here. Signals.
Signals?
Yeah. Signals. Yeah.
Green light, red light. It's the typically in drafts you get you can receive signals from people who are passing to you to kind of know what colors or archetypes or themes or color pairs are open.
Oh, like what me and you did on LAX Hilton.
Yeah, I think you were just forcing mono red, and it worked out really well. But yeah, I definitely saw strong signals that blue white was open when I drafted, like, I don't know, three of the Inspiring Overseer or whatever it's called.
No, I was already dedicated to red. I knew what you were doing, right? Because we were both doing the same thing. But after a while, I was already determined I was in red. So I just did that signaling because I wanted to show the guy to the right and the left that I knew what they were drafting.
Yeah.
Then the people next to them were like, okay, what do I got? And I'm like, I really don't know and I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Oh, wait, the answer, right? Yeah, in the booster draft. Yeah, we're not even going to finish this one, Judge. He got this one right. He got this one right, man. Yep, signaling. Well, I was hoping she was going to say something else. You know? All right, she's still explaining. Hold on, we're moving on to the next one. Situational. You should know this one. We talk about it on the podcast a lot, right?
Situational, if certain cards are better in certain situations or not. Like, you're not going to run a black card that says destroy a green creature if you're going up against like some blue red spells deck or something. That's just a bad card. It's only good in certain situations, like a disenchant or something,
right? You wouldn't have that in an aid deck or something, right?
Yeah, and those, yeah, I was about to say, those cards typically will go on a sideboard,
right? I think you're going to get this one right too, man. I think the very final half of this is maybe they scaled easier. I know they're all alphabetical. She's given the answer. I said, I'm going to speculate. I don't know. That's what my answer was. A situational card requires certain situational circumstances in order to be at its best. The opposite of flexible. All right, Judge.
Man, I feel like Onik has a cheat sheet or something.
Yeah, I think he...
I'm the one who handles the cheat sheets to everyone else.
I know, right? All right, here we go. To honor everybody's time, moving on here. Slow roll.
Slow roll?
Yep. Do we hit a speed bump here, bud? No pun intended.
It's slow roll is kind of when you play out your cards slowly, probably to try to get a response from your opponent. Like, if you have like two creatures out, but you have like three more in your hand, you're not going to dump everything out. You kind of want to maybe slow roll those creatures just where you have advantage, and also just to see what their breaking point is, if they're going to sweep the board with like a Wrath of God or Pyroplasm effect or whatever. That's to me slow roll. Like, you're not playing out all the cards because you want to. You already have some sort of advantage. You know what? You don't want to overextend.
I'm so glad I'm not standing next to you holding a microphone. My arm would get tired. Judge, did you shut your mouth? Did you catch all that, Judge? Did you catch all that, Judge? All right.
Yeah, I got it.
You typed it down as he was doing it in shorthand. You know.
Yep.
I think he had to cover all the bases there. You know. Like, normally he's like, oh. Situationalist, blah, blah, blah. But this one was like four paragraphs. Like, I'm looking at my clock. All right. And you're locking that one in?
Yes.
All right. Hold on, buddy. I know. And just give me 1 minute. Okay. My dog's looking at me because I'm getting all excited. Okay. Here we go. And the correct answer is I said, I threw my hands up in the air and I said, enlighten us, babe. I'm curious. To hold on to the winning card longer than you need it. To slow roll maliciously, unsportsmanlike, but to be careful on the final turn of the game is just sound strategy. All right, Judge.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Onik on this one as well.
What?
Hit the nail on the head.
Wait,
This definition was definitely shorter than this definition.
I'm being complete.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, neat. Completed. Okay. All right. All right. Well, we gotta move on to the, because I mean, we're like in a, what, the S's still or something here. Hold on. What's the next word? All right. This one should be easy for you. I probably should have skipped it, but spot removal.
Yeah, it's pretty much a spell or an effect. Usually a spell that you just kind of, you know, it's a one for one. You use one card to destroy one of their cards, typically creatures.
Like murder.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're locking that one in.
Yes.
Okay. I think we're just going to give it to you, buddy. But let me see what she says. Hold on. I'm giving my answer. A targeted spell that can remove one or more opposing creatures. So, Judge?
Yeah, we're going to have to give this one to Anik as well.
I know, man. It's starting to seem like a trend. It's like we're just putting all these check marks on yes, you know? It's starting to be a little bit on the boring side. I think the next word's an S. Hold on. Oh, I couldn't even hear. We're going to skip this one because I couldn't hear. And I'm kidding because I'm repeating the question. It was stack. So we're going to go ahead and skip this one, too. Come on, let's get past the S's. We got to get to the Z. You know, we got to get to the Z, man.
What is Zendikar?
I don't even know if there is a Z. I hope there's something close to the end. Like, it would really mess me up if, like, T would be the end. Hold on. She's giving the answer on stack. Staying open.
Oh, staying open.
Yes, yes.
I heard stain, S-T-A-I-N, and I'm like, that sounds disgusting. Oh, you have an open stain. Staying open.
Spot remover, though.
is kind of a big deal in Brothers War Draft. You okay. Pretty much you typically grab like artifacts or lands.
Yeah.
And you're keeping your options open to see what colors are speaking to you. You're kind of waiting for signals, I suppose.
Right.
You're not committing yourself to a color.
Right. I like that answer. Judge, I think he's gonna get this one right.
Of course I am.
I love this positive attitude. The answer is in a booster draft, waiting to decide your colors until you've had time to read signals. Ooh, Judge.
I'm going to have to agree with Onik on this one. Kind of hit it right on the head there.
Yep. Onik hammer, right? It's hammer time. All right. And the next word, symmetric effect.
What?
Yeah. It's a thing, buddy.
Say that one more time.
Symmetric effect. Oh,
symmetric effect. Okay. I heard symmetric. And I'm like, with a T in there, an extra T.
Oh,
okay. I'm like, I don't know what that means. But okay. It's still a symmetric effect.
Yeah,
we're making things up here. Symmetric effect.
We're making it up.
Kind of mimic or mirror the plays that your opponent plays. Like if they drop a land and pass, you drop a land and pass. If they drop a land and creature and pass, and you drop a land and creature and pass. I don't know. It sounds like not necessarily mirror match, but mirror play style.
Okay.
And that's my answer.
You're locking that one in.
This is going to make the air.
So you don't want to use one of your lifelines at this point?
No.
Okay. All right. He's going all in, Judge, and the correct answer is... No. Oh, I looked at my wife and said, enlighten me. I was already mad at this point, apparently. A part of a spell or ability that impacts both players in the same way. All right, okay. Judge?
Yeah, it's symmetrical effects that would impact all players in the same way, like some really powerful cards that do kind of, you know, symmetrical effects to everybody. So, Unfortunately, Onik isn't perfect, so he did miss one, but...
Yeah.
I still have a 95% win rate. That's okay.
So far, yeah, I was going to say, so far he's got both answers wrong, right? I mean,
both of what?
He's doing pretty decent.
Yeah, he's got 100% wrong rate on this. Yeah,
I'll take the L on that one. That didn't cross my mind.
Yeah,
for like, you know, each player sacrifices a creature or discards a card or whatever. Okay, that's fair.
What's funny is I'm going to give him the edited version where it's just like he got them all wrong. And he's going to be like, are you really going to release this?
Or are you just going to like take the one clip of me saying what? Like for every single question. What is the magic card? What?
It doesn't even sound like, wait, what? Right. All right.
What is your name? What?
Moving along here. I didn't even give a good answer either. All right. We are moving along here in the letters.
We've been asked for like,
hold on.
Okay.
Transformational sideboard.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know exactly what this is. Transformational sideboard doesn't really come up too often. I think it's more of like a combo deck sort of thingy, but pretty much like you have an entire plan B in the sideboard.
Yeah.
So for example, like you can kind of turn your combo deck into like a mid-range deck, and you just take out like your like 10 to 15 combo pieces, and you just put in a whole pretty much a whole new game plan from the sideboard. So whereas like it's almost like you're playing a different deck. Your deck transforms.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the answer I would have gave too, because I used to make them myself.
Yeah.
And the correct answer is, I'm giving a long explanation of something that happened in my past here. I'm explaining it to her. See how much time's left on Zoom here. What does it say? 8 minutes? Yep. Yeah, exactly the same thing you said. That's the answer. All right. Turning the corner.
Like I feel like I've heard this phrase before, but not necessarily in Magic. So I would imagine it's like you're kind of behind on the game, but you have a few good top decks, and you're making a comeback.
Okay. That's your answer?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Shifting the focus from defense to offense. Now I'm going to look to the judge.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Onik on this one. He got this one correct as well.
We only got one more question for you, buddy, okay?
I'll say that I probably got that one wrong according to that definition provided.
Ooh.
However, I don't agree with the definition.
Right.
So the definition provided was shifting from defense to offense.
Mm-hmm.
To me,
turning,
that doesn't
turning point. I mean,
yeah, you said turning corner or something.
Yeah, turning corner. Yeah, turning corner.
Yeah, to me, it just sounds like I guess either way, it's like a shift in.
Well, I mean, the judge gave
a shift in momentum. I'll take it right.
He's defending his right answer, Judge. What do we do? Do we just end the game?
No, I'm disagreeing with the answer provided.
I know, man. I'm giving you stuff. All right. We only got one more question here, just to honor everybody's time here. We got one more question here. Two to five land strategy.
What? Two to five land strategy?
Yeah. You just did it. Yep.
That's... It sounds like you're keeping hands that have two to five lands in your hand and you don't mulligan.
Okay. That's your final answer?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would go with, because I only keep a hand that's got two to five lands in the opening hand, right? All right. And she says... Oh, my answer. Opening hand, two to five lands. It's okay. And she says, a basic mulligan strategy. All right, we're going to stop right there, man, because it instructs you to keep a 2-5 land hand. So I think you did a great job, man. You know, you had a lot of defensive moments in this whole quiz, but Judge, I think he did a really good job, man. Don't you think he got like 80% of it right or something?
Yeah, it was at least 15%.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we only asked him 2 questions. We asked him 3 questions. Is that what it was? 3 questions?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
That is something like that.
Well, Onig, it was fun, man. You know, I'm not sure if anybody notices it, but I named the episodes. Let me go back here. The first time I started doing this quiz thing, I just called it episode 117. Wow. And then the part two was called episode 118. Wow. Part two. So what do you think I'm going to call this one?
Wow. With 3 O's, part three.
No, I'm just going to say wow, part three, regular. But there is an exclamation point on the beginning and end of wow. I'll say that. Okay. Yeah. But you're close. That's cool.
Is that something else I'm going to get wrong? Lower my win rate?
Yeah, dude. We only asked you 3 questions. Well, Luke, man, I really appreciate you coming on today's show. Let me see how much time we got left in the room here.
Like three and a half. But cool. Next week and the week after, I want to ask you a couple questions. That's about fair. The Rabias scale and about different planes.
Okay.
I'll quiz you a little bit on some planeswalkers and maybe some mechanics from those planes.
Okay.
As well as informing some of the newer players. This could be also beginner's corner for next time.
Well, it's great because I think the only one so far out of all that, I'll get the mechanics right, but the rest of it wrong.
You know? Yeah, it'll be fun, though. Sure. I think it'll be fun. I'll make sure it's set up perfectly so you fail.
Oh, good. Good, good. And then I'll edit it to where I look good, right?
What is magic? Game, win, and episode.
The shortest episode ever.
Yeah.
Well, Luke, man, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but that's one of my idiosyncrasies is I don't want to sound like a broken record, but man, I really appreciate you last minute being a judge.
Yeah, man, thank you.
And coming on today's show.
And wish I would add a little more to add into there, but.
And I know you're a busy guy. You're probably multitasking as you're doing this podcast. You told me you're in the office.
Yeah, I'm actually getting ready for a live stream that starts here in an hour. So.
Yep. I know, right? Well, I'm going to let the listeners go then. Listeners, I know this is probably going to sound like a broken record, but we have a Patreon, and right now we have one Patreon, Will, and he was on the last episode as a special guest and judge. And you're able to, as a Patreon, at least right now, the one thing we have in play is you can be backstage. You can listen to all the errors, all the mistakes, all the curse words, all the jokes, all the stuff that's like, hey, this isn't going to make it to the podcast, is it? And it's like, no, but you do remember we got people listening backstage, you know, so, you know, that kind of stuff. So if you guys want to be a patron, just go over to Patreon or www.patreon.com/thecrypticcommander, and it'll be all laid out in black and white for you there. And next week, it'll be Onik and I and a special guest. I know we have a special guest coming up in February, man. It's another podcaster that's big time. And, I think it was Humans of Magic or Human of Magic. I'm going to have to double check, but James Who, and I'm probably murdering the name. It's spelled TSU. He'll be coming up in February. So I'm looking forward to that myself. I listen to his podcast every once in a while. He's very informative. So, but not sidetracking too much. Also, don't forget, we have a YouTube channel we're trying to build up. There's 275 subscribers. Tell all your friends. And there's one more thing before we let you go. We have a bundle that I picked up as promised. I'm giving that away. We've only got 2 people that are entered into it. So if you want to enter into this giveaway, all you got to do is go to the YouTube video on the Cryptic Commander and say, on the latest video, I want to win that bundle, and you'll be entered to win. And tune in next week. But until next time, keep spell slinging.